Hey, on Extra 1360. Hi, Will.
Well, about 5 o'clock is doing a little bit better, but not much, Darren, perfectly honest. I think I'm taking three naps today.
Oh, man. Oh, I thought the voice might sound a little bit better after a proper night's rest. I'm impressed that you're here. We do appreciate that. I told Marty she might want to think about a backup plan because I heard the way it sounded on the Pick Six podcast.
Yeah, I was feeling pretty rough. I wasn't really feeling that rough this morning. I was just tired. We didn't get much sleep over the course of the weekend. That's what happens when you shut down a college bar on a Friday night. And then proceed to run it back on Saturday. But, you know, it's actually my wife's fault because she didn't go to the wedding with me. So I was solo. And so as a result, I acted like a college student all weekend.
I love that. I love the stories, too, how you said you were closing down bars and buying rounds of drinks for the entire bar, buying people's food, late night, booze mop situations. What were you doing shots of? I was curious about that. What does Will Brinson do shots of when he's out there partying around like a college kid?
Somebody was like, let's do tequila. I was like, absolutely not. I'll do a bourbon shot. And then somebody just like 21, but I mean, he was like 21 year old, just college bro. Was like, you guys take these cream cheese shots. I was like, well, that sounds disgusting, but there's no like dairy in them and you can't taste any alcohol. And they apparently has like three or four different alcohols in it. And, it worked pretty well.
Now, see, that's interesting to me as a tequila drinker. What do you have against tequila? I don't know that you're drinking the right type of tequila.
No. I love tequila. In fact, all I drank all weekend was ranch water with Topo and tequila. But I'm not a big tequila shot fan, particularly this bar in particular. I'm telling you, this is a college bar. Mm. Like, I went in, I was like, do you have any Topo Chico? She was like, what are you talking about, bro? And I was like, all right, well, I'll just do a tequila and soda with a lime. She goes, we don't have any limes. All right, having a lemon. No, I have a lemon. Yeah. Do you have any oranges? And she's like, dude, we don't have any fruit here. What do you want?
Oh, I love it. It's always good to rock out like a college kid, too. Like I said, the story was hilarious. It was definitely part of the Pick Six podcast early on in the broadcast as Brinson was explaining why it was that he was so hoarse. So good job out of you. You're a trooper. Is that the reason why it was an hour 38? I wondered why it didn't go two plus.
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah.
I think we wrapped up and I hit end on the little StreamYard thing we're doing and like rotated my chair about 30 degrees. Unmuted the television, put my feet up, and fell asleep for 30 minutes, like, just sitting there at my desk.
Well, I realize, you know, usually we talk about the games, we have a lot of fun, but, you know, something it popped into my mind yesterday, and I'm sure you'll have much better answers than I could provide. You know, they issue the inactives, and anybody who's playing fantasy or gambling on these games, you pay very close attention to the inactives when they come out. And it sort of stood out to me, not that it's a surprise that Deshaun Watson is on the inactives list, but if we're comparing this, and maybe it's not, maybe it's apples and oranges to the Trevor Bauer situation, where he's on a commissioner's exempt list. And I just sort of said to myself, I wonder, like, do they want him to play? Does he not want to play? Does the league not want him to play? He's on the inactive list, and I must admit, like, I just sort of stood out to me as to what the Houston Texans are doing with him.
Well, I mean, think about it like this. They're essentially... I mean, you know, putting themselves at a competitive disadvantage because you have a 53-man roster and one of the people in your 53-man roster is a quarterback who you said is not going to play all year. And you also happen to probably have the worst 52-man roster of anyone in the league. And so they're trying to go out and win games with, you know, a one man short of everyone else in the NFL. It's crazy. And, you know, with Tyrod Taylor dealing with a hamstring injury, they got to play Thursday. So Davis Mills is going to be their quarterback, you know, so they're going to have Tyrod Taylor not on injured reserve, more likely, right? He's going to be inactive. Deshaun Watson's going to be inactive, but not on injured reserve. So you have one quarterback. You have to go sign another one, and then you have four roster spots being used for, you know, these quarterback situations. It's a whole mess. And I think if the Texans tried to play him, because of what's going on, the league might step in, but – I don't know that the league wants to do that. So, and even if they tried to play him, would Deshaun Watson be willing to play? Because he would, in theory, improve his trade value by playing well, but we already know he can play well. And possibly he could hurt his trade value by getting hurt, or, you know, he would go against his stance of never playing for the Texans again. So it's a whole... It's just a big mess there, and it's the weirdest situation.
Yeah, I must admit, like I said, maybe I just hadn't paid close enough attention to it because I'm paying more attention to what happens with the Padres and Dodgers every single week. But they have a special list for Trevor Bauer. Again, and maybe these are in the same neighborhood, but they're not on the same street.
Well, the NFL has that same list, and they could use it, but they are choosing not to use it. And I think the reason they're choosing not to use it is because there have been no criminal charges filed. And because this is not a statement on the allegations made against Deshaun Watson, it's simply a statement on the bag of the Pandora's box that the league didn't want to open. If the league decided that every time someone had civil allegations, which are inherently asking for money, you're asking for reparations, you're not asking for someone to be punished by the law for criminal reasons, you're asking for civil compensation. If the league put somebody on the commissioner's exempt list every single time there was a civil allegation filed, it would in theory open up that Pandora's box, I'm saying, where anybody can run down to the courthouse, because you can sue anybody you want. Mm-hmm. You can file a lawsuit against anybody you want. So if you had a scorned lover decides to go down and file a lawsuit against player X, then would the NFL have created this precedent where they have to use a commissioner's exempt list? And so I think that's what the league is trying to do, is to avoid doing that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, very bizarre. Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast, joining us on Extra 1360. Like I said, I just scrolled through that and I said, huh, I didn't realize it. Seven teams are 2-0 on the season, Will. Who had the most impressive Week 2 victory for you? What's the one? Is there one or two that really, really stood out where you went, wow, must admit, didn't see that one coming?
You keep taking the L's on my, no voice, no sleep. And Derek Carr and the Raiders are rolling. They look great. He's throwing the deep ball. He's getting comfortable. Admittedly, things changed, I think, for the Steelers when T.J. Watt went out, and he has a groin injury. We'll see how that works out. Tyson Alualu is, also missing. I think they have another defensive lineman that's banged up as well. So that's a big red flag for the Steelers, because if their defensive line isn't doing what it's supposed to do, that's sort of the crux of their defense, right? They have to have that defensive line working, and their offensive line looked awful. The Raiders are kind of playing good defense, and maybe this is the year for the Raiders to, make it work under John Gruden. They were 2-0 last year, and then obviously went 8-8, didn't play very well, but they beefed up on a soft schedule early on last year, whereas this year, they come out of the gates and play, the Ravens at home and then the Steelers on the road. That's two really quality wins for Las Vegas early on, and as much as I am not a huge fan of Derek Carr, you have to give him credit, because he if you were doing an MVP, like a way too early MVP list, which everybody does, even in Week 2, Derek Carr is on there along with Kyler Murray and Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's leading the league in passing yardages. For whatever that is worth, Derek Carr is leading the league in passing yards through the first two games of the regular
season. Welcome to my personal hell, Darren.
Yes. Like you said, continue taking those L's as well. Maybe one day he'll unblock you. I don't know. Or the Carr family will unblock you, but I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Is there a 2-0 team that you are convinced is a complete fraud?
No, because I think the Panthers are legit, not in the sense that they're going to win the division, but I do think that defense is really good, and people need to start recognizing that. If you got a bad defensive fantasy and you're on the fence about something, we recommend the Panthers as a possible pickup. I think they are legit, and Sam Darnold is playing well for them. The offensive line, not great. He's not throwing it down the field, but he's getting into Christian McCaffrey, and that's kind of your only job. I'm buying in on all. I'm buying in on the Buccaneers, obviously. All three of the 2-0 NFC West teams look completely legitimate.
Denver?
Who am I missing? What's that? No, I think Denver's good, man. Yes, it's Denver and then the Raiders. I don't think any of these teams are fraud, so to speak. Denver's roster is granted, Denver, got to beat up on a bad Jacksonville team, but their roster is really good. Defensively, they are loaded. And then on offense, they have a pretty good offensive line, tons of weapons. Jerry Jeudy goes down. They still got Courtland Sutton, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant. And Teddy Bridgewater is playing much better football than he was last year. Part of it is probably familiarity with Pat Shermer's system and maybe equivalent or better weapons around him. But I think all these teams that are 2-0, I'm not saying they're all going to make the playoffs, just that I don't think I look at any of these teams, I'm like, oh, that team is a fraud.
Right. Well, last year I felt like Pittsburgh was one of those teams where nobody was really buying in, even after an 11-0 start. And you know, that certainly played, at least in the postseason, it sort of played out that way. And it's also weird, too, just to look at the standings. It's the first time, and however, I think you guys talked about this, it's the first time in how long, Will, that we haven't seen Kansas City on top of the AFC West.
I know. It's crazy. And so, this is the one year I finally picked Kansas City to win the division. they won't win it.
Yeah, he's throwing interceptions. The Ravens are beating Kansas City. There was a lot to that one last night.
That was a fun game. I mean, Lamar's doing pop passes. Patrick Mahomes is slinging it across his body. They're back and forth and back and forth. There was a pick six to start the game. Yeah, it came down to, Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbles. And all of a sudden, and by the way, that the rookie, formerly Jason Owe, changed his first name. He is the guy that the Ravens took in the spot that they traded. They took with the Chiefs pick that they got for the Orlando Brown trade. So he comes in their immediate sort of revenge game, like a quasi revenge game where he pops the ball out and then the Ravens recover and, Lamar, do you want to go? Lamar, do you want to go? And they buck up, go for the fourth down, and it was a fantastic game start to finish.
I know that clip, and I understand why that clip is getting a lot of run here today. But what did anybody think Lamar Jackson was going to say?
Can you imagine?
No, coach. I think we should punt.
It's like Roger Sherman was tweeted. He's like, "What if Lamar was like, no, coach? We've got a great punter. Kick these guys.
No, let's give the ball back to Mahomes."
Yeah. I think it's really more good camera work by NBC than an amazing moment where, John Harbaugh's like, Lamar, you do want to go, right? He's just confirming. Like, he's planning on going, but he didn't want to say, let's go unless, it's cool because he's like, Lamar, like, you are good to go, right? He's like, you're not expecting to not go here, and then all of a sudden we're hosed. I get why it's getting run. But I actually saw it happen on the, because I usually have an antenna going, the AC antenna that's ahead of, most, even the DirecTV. And then I have my streaming TV. So if a moment happens, I can film it and tweet it out or something like that. And I saw it, I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome. But like, what else is he going to say? I'm not going to tweet that. And then of course, naturally it blows up. But yeah, I agree with you in that sense.
Yeah. Any of these 0-2 teams, the two New York teams, Minnesota, Jacksonville, Atlanta, and the Colts, any of them you think, okay, hold on, pump the brakes. It's not over for those teams yet.
Yeah. Not the New York teams. They look terrible, especially the Jets. Jacksonville, obviously, too bad. Indianapolis, Carson Wentz has two sprained ankles.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I know. I guess I know how it happens, but they didn't mention it until afterwards. And now they're like, we'll see if he's able to play on next week. He's like, here's an idea. How about you don't rush the injury-prone quarterback who you already rushed back from foot surgery, who just suffered multiple sprained ankles. How about you don't rush him back? Just leave him on the sidelines. You're 0-2. Take the L in the next week. I think Minnesota is probably the closest team to – yeah, I think if you look at these 0-2 teams, none of them are surprising except maybe Minnesota.
Yeah, and they're 1-1. They're like a yard away from finishing 1-1, right? I mean,
yeah, and then they went to overtime the game before. They could easily be 2-0.
Yeah.
So I would say that. And then I assume you've seen a call from Paul Allen.
Yeah, we played Minnesota. It earlier. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's tough. It's also like, why does he? What is the enthusiasm on? God, that's actually what happened to my voice. I was screaming it's good all weekend. He just didn't, just give it a little breath. I mean, like, he's a legendary announcer, but, give it a little breath before you lose your mind. I think it was, I don't know if you heard of the podcast, but Breach was saying, like, how many people wrecked their car?
Drove off the road.
Because it's like, they're like, yeah, it's good. And he's like, wait, no, oh, God, no. And it's just, slightly wide right. So I think Minnesota maybe pumped the brakes on burying them quite yet. But Jason Lockett-Forrett had a report on, I think, Sunday, or yeah, yesterday maybe, where he was saying that it is possible that the Minnesota ownership is going to get a little antsy if things keep going off the rails. And so that is something that warrants watching out for if Minnesota continues to struggle.
Well, we'll just let you get out of here on this note. If quarterback one is unavailable to play next week for Chicago, it's automatically Fields, or is there any case to be made for Foles, who's in there as well?
No, it's Fields.
Okay.
But Fields can struggle, man. He didn't look good.
No.
Bad week for the rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence was pretty terrible. Zach Wilson, awful. Justin Fields, not very good. Trey Lance didn't play. Mac Jones played pretty well, but didn't have any big numbers or anything. This is the pathway for, you know, someone else to pop up and win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'm not sure exactly who it would be right now, but you mean, you know, with the quarterbacks struggle and these teams look like they're going to be bad, it's always a possibility. But, yeah, I think if QB1 can't go, if the Red Rifles in a, you know, if the Ferrari is stuck in the garage, you got to trot Fields out there, I think.
Will, maybe a little bit of salt water, a little bit of tea, a little lemon. You'll be fine. You're a trooper. Thank you for doing this.
All right. See you there.
You got it. Will Brinson. I want to go party with Will Brinson in Charlottesville and do a bunch of shots with college kids. It's a hilarious story that they're telling, too, because, you know, these guys are professionals and they're going to these quintessential college bars in a quintessential college town like Charlottesville. And they're just buying the bar drinks because they can, because, you know, they got a couple of bucks in their pockets and college kids do not. And, like, I remember those days, too, where, like, an adult would come into the college bar and it's like, oh, that guy's got a credit card. Wow, that's super exciting stuff there. So, yeah, 7 teams are 2-0. 17 teams are 1-1. 8 teams are 0-2 or winless thus far on the season. So just what the NFL wants. Everybody hovering around the middle. A couple of teams really good at the top. A couple of teams really bad at the bottom. And everybody else just sort of hovering around right there in the middle of it all. But quality last night. Hopefully we'll get a decent one here tonight. I spent my Saturday with a friend of mine, my buddy Ryan, who's a big Jets fan. He spent all day Saturday. We went down for beers and tacos in Chula Vista. And he spent all day telling me how Zach Wilson was so much different. Zach Wilson, this is it. Zach Wilson, tomorrow's an important day. It's going to represent a new rookie quarterback, taking down another rookie quarterback. Took 5 passes for him to throw 3 interceptions. So I feel like we're back to square zero with the Jets.
It's like Nathan Peterman-esque.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Sort of production.
Pretty rough. And then Red Zone just bailed on the Jets for the rest.
That was it?
Hansen was done with him. Hansen was over it. He just was ready to move on.
Oh, my goodness.
I fell for my buddy Ryan. But what are you going to do? He's a Jets fan. He's used to this pain. He's sort of numb.
Did you take it easy on him, or did you like, dude, what do you expect? It's the same
Absolutely
crap.
Not. Not only did I tell him that Zach Wilson stunk, I also pointed out that Sam Darnold was performing pretty well, too.
So, I mean, that's also my previous best bet for comeback player of the year. Coming back from Adam Gase and being a Jet.
Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of friendship that we have.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it took all of five passes for him to throw 3 interceptions yesterday. Right?
Brilliant. Yeah.
Good weekend for USC quarterbacks. Former USC quarterback. And the current ones. Well.
Yeah.
Except for one of them, maybe. Maybe.
What are you talking about?
Slovis. Does he get his job back?
Sam, though, he played well.
Yeah.
I like Darnold. I think he's going to be okay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to bury a guy when he's injured. But, man, I mean, in South Florida, are you having a little bit of buyer's remorse about Tua?
They have to every single day.
Yeah.
Every
I know that yesterday wasn't Herbert's greatest day. Threw a couple of interceptions. But overall, I think there was more good there than bad. Some of their problems. That was a weird game in Los Angeles yesterday between Chargers and Cowboys.
A fitting end, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, taunting penalties and couple of weird interceptions.
Just a sack on Herbert that just was
mistakes. And it's like Will said, it appears to be a very competitive division with Vegas out to a good start. Denver's 2-0. Kansas City and being 500 all year long. Sort of fumbled that one away, threw a bad interception late. So, a friend of mine sent a picture. I know people are pointing out that there was a ton of Cowboys fans in attendance. Shocker. I mean, that happens everywhere. Of course it's going to happen there. Friend of mine, Jordan and I had Jordan had a friend, I should say, yesterday while we were at Torero Stadium with Loyal. He had a friend who was at the game, and I think this was actually more hilarious. If you're into the hilarity of embarrassing things that happen to the Chargers, I don't know that the crowd dynamic really matters. It was predictable. What was it, 70-30 somewhere? Did you go? Were you at that game?
No.
Okay.
Somebody sent
me a picture of a beer that they're selling, of, you know, a tall boy can of beer. I don't remember if it was Modelo or Pacifico. And they sell these tall boy beers with the Rams logo on it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I didn't see.
I think that's more hilarious than whatever the crowd break
I wonder
was.
If that's like a requirement by Stan. Like, oh, yeah, I have to have these people here. Yeah. Guess what? You're selling at your games. Mandatory that's or you right. can't come here. I did see a tweet from our friend Michael Gilkin that the Cowboys said they never had to go to a silent count once. But the good thing for the Chargers fans, the ones that are there, is that it'll get better because their next home game comes against the Raiders.
Oh,
the 2-0 Raiders.
So at least if you're a
Derek
player,
Derek Carr leading the league in passing yards.
Derek Carter, but at least if you're a Chargers player,
Derek Carter,
you know what to expect. Mm-hmm. You know what's going to sound
practice
like.
That silent count if you're Justin Herbert. But yeah, like you know, we're sort of used to that. It's sort of.
No, I know, but just.
But yeah, I thought that was funny that they sell those cans with the Rams logo
on it. That's amazing.
Let's see if I can get you the picture. Back after this.